We have gone through a series, and I'm kind of excited about some of the things that God has done. And I'm hoping that you had a chance this last week to be in your Lyft communities and come up with some ideas as we look forward as a church and what we can do to make an impact in our community. So we talked about this whole thing in the last little while. We called it agape, or the Bible calls it agape. And agape is the purest love imaginable. It's the love that God showed to us, and it's the love that God wants us to show to others. Now, so we talked about this, and we want to move on from here, but I want to ask you to use your imagination. So we talked about agape as being the foundation, but want to kind of look at, so where do we go from here? And I want you to imagine for just a minute, I want you to imagine that there is a great big rocket ship, okay? And it's a nice rocket ship. It's clean. It's shiny. It's well prepared. It's impressive and strong. The conditions are great. The sky is blue. There is no wind. Everything is ready to go, and this thing is on its way to the moon. So we've got people around. They're gathered around. There's a big crowd to watch the rocket hit off the launch pad and head out to the moon. And the countdown is on. 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and they press the button.
That was easy.
And I don't know what happened, but it doesn't do anything. So they press the button again.
That was easy.
And it wasn't easy because it's not going anywhere. And the guys are scratching their head and going, what's the problem? Why isn't it launching? And, you know, I thought about this, and I thought, you know, in many ways, that maybe is like the church. See, we've got the launch pad. We've got the structure. We've got everything looks good. Conditions are great. We've got our destination. But we got to launch. Are you following me? We got to get off the pad. We got to get going. And something is holding it back. And I want to talk to you this morning about how we get from here to there, what God expects from us. I want us to think about, where do we want to go? And you know, to be honest with you folks, when I look at this whole concept of where we want to go, it's really not that difficult. God has called us as a church. He wants to empower each one of us here this morning to reach our community for Jesus. Like, it's that simple. It's not profound. I was hoping to get more of an amen from that. But God wants to empower you, every one of us, to reach our community for Jesus. So I want to talk to you, thank you. I want to talk to you about the how and the why. So the why is why we do what we do is because of agape. We do it because of the love of God. And we know where we want to go, I hope. Now, how do we get there? And I want to take a look at that this morning. So again, I'm going to pray. I love prayer. So how about we pray? God, thank you for the opportunity of being here together and looking at the potential that is here right now. Because of your Holy Spirit and where you want to use that potential to make a difference, to make an impact in the community around us. So grant us wisdom, Lord. And I pray, Father, please, I pray as we take time to look into this morning, that we wouldn't just say, yeah, that was great, great words. But God, help us to look at how we can apply these words in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The how and the why. First thing we got to take a look at is, where are we at? And I want us to take a look at our community. It says here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. You know this verse super duper well. And I'm sure you've memorized the verse. Jesus says to his disciples, he said, look, the harvest, it's super plentiful, but there's not a whole lot of workers. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Now, see, when we look at our community, when you look at your neighbors, what do you see? What do you see when you look around you? See, you know what? It's really, really easy to say, I see a world out there in Africa or in South America or in different places on the planet that need Jesus. Let's send out the missionaries. Let's get them out there. Hallelujah. And I think that's a good thing. I think we need to get the missionaries out to these different places. But what do you see right now in your own community? I'm wondering, are we looking? Are we seeing what's going on? The North American Missions Board estimated, and get this, they estimated that there are 259 million people in the United States and Canada that doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Let's say that slowly. 259 million people in Canada and in the United States that do not have a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm thinking, I could be wrong, but there's room for growth in the church. You following me? I'm thinking we've got a bit of work to be done yet, okay, in order to do what God has called us to do. And you know, when you think about it, there are more coming here, folks. There are more coming to Canada. And there, I looked at some statistics about Canadian immigration. And I found that Canada holds the gold medal. This is what I read. The gold medal for immigration by taking on the highest percentage of immigrants each year of any other nation in the world. We take in more immigrants in Canada than anybody else on the planet. Actually, we take in approximately 300,000 people a year that are coming to this country. According to a McLean's article that I read, 67% of the Canadian population growth is due to immigration. 67% of growth here in Canada is because of immigration. And they're saying that that number is going to grow by 2031 to 80%. John Ingalls is one of our university campus ministry directors, and he told me this 2 weeks ago. He says there are 247,000 students in universities today in Canada that are exchange students. He says that 12%, I don't know what I've got here for statistics, 12% of the people that are coming to, that are in their universities are from different countries. And Canada, Surrey is growing by about 1,000 people a month. Do we have place room for growth in Spa Church? Yes. Hallelujah, yes we do, yes we do. They're coming. And you know, I'm a firm believer, folks, that what Jesus wants from us is to be instrumental in reaching out to these folks that are coming in and to others as well. Okay, we don't want to neglect others, but I believe with all my heart that John 3:16 is so relevant today, folks, that God so loved the world that he gave. You know what the greatest gift on this planet is? It's not salvation, that we've been saved from sin. It's not freedom from sin. It's not the church. It's not a great, beautiful day outside. It's Jesus. Yeah, you can clap to that because that's worth clapping for. And what he's asking for us is to take the name of Jesus to the world around us. I had a person in my office this week who said to me this. He said, I've been in the church for 30 years. He says, I'm done with the church. Done with it. I don't want anything to do with the church. I want anything to do with God. I don't want anything to do with all of this stuff. I'm not sure why I'm here, but I'm just letting you know I'm done. That's not the kind of conversation that I wanted to enter into when I only had about 40 minutes to talk to this person before my next meeting. There are people out there that need to know that there is a Savior that loves him. And I ended with this. I said, there's one thing I want to give to you, I said. I can give you all sorts of stuff to prove God exists. I can give you all sorts of stuff that shows you that it's worth hanging on. But there's only one thing I want to give to you, and everything hangs on this, I said to him. And that's a name, Jesus. And I said, everything hangs on Jesus. And I said, I challenge you to make him a reality to your life. I believe that there is a world looking for something real, folks, that our community needs Jesus. I believe, folks, that the harvest is still plentiful. And we've got to see it around us. Do you see it? What do you see when you look at your community? Let's take a look at the church. What do we see when we look at the church? See, I believe the church still has the greatest message on the planet. I believe that. I believe that we still have something to offer. As Pastor Les said last week, we have the message of Jesus, and it's still relevant today. I believe that Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 is truth as well today. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I don't wanna give you stuff to depress you, so I'm not trying to do that here this morning. But let me give you some statistics about what's going on in our country. In our country of Canada. Forget about the United States for a second. Let's look at Canada. Did you know that right now in Canada, 80% of the churches are in decline? They plateaued or they are in decline. 80% of the churches here in Canada. I looked up an article this week from CBC, great Christian organization they are. This is what they said. They said that we are going to lose 9,000 churches in the next 10 years. We need 9,000 more churches. We don't need 9,000 less churches. And McLean said, it was interesting, they said, what else are we seeing in our country? And they're saying this. They're saying that the percentage of people that are going to a religious service, I'm not talking about a church, I'm just talking about a religious service, that could be Muslim, that could be Hindu, that could be anything, has gone down that just once a month. Has gone down from 30% in 2000 to 23% in 2015. The people that attend a religious service once a week is only 15%. People are becoming less and less interested in religious things. People are listening more and more and more to the wrong voices, voices like Richard Dawkins, who's a well-known atheist, and others, and they're listening to this stuff. And you know, in the last little while, I was really contemplating what is it that we are bringing into our lives that is making us cold to the things of God? Like where are we being desensitized? What's going on? And I mean, we could point our fingers at a lot of different places, and I thought one of the places is in our own homes. I'm not against TV. Please hear me out. I'm not against watching TV and all that stuff. But I'm wondering what we're allowing into our living room, and that is allowing us to be indoctrinated by what's going on, what the enemy wants for us. So I was looking at some of the shows that are fairly popular. I know they're not popular here. I'm believing they're not popular here. But that directly mock Christianity. Shows like Lucifer. Down in the state, I don't even know what it's about. I mean, I read a little bit about it, but it's supposed to be about an angel that, and people are watching this stuff. There's shows like the GCB, Good Christian. Yeah, I don't want to use that word, but there's a new show that's coming out right now that's called Impastor. It's about a guy that steals another man's identity and becomes the local preacher in a town, but he becomes a local gay preacher in the town. And I thought, what are we watching in our homes? What are we letting into our lives? Because I do believe that what goes in here through our eyes will find a place in our brain and will slowly either encourage or desensitize us as believers to the things of God. Folks, I want the church to be strong. And I can tell you this, the enemy doesn't. And he will use whatever possible way he can to try to desensitize you to the voice of the Spirit. And he'll use entertainment. Again, please hear me. I love my Dukes of Hazzard. I love to sit down and watch something once in a while. But I tell you, if that takes place of my relationship with Jesus, I got a problem, right? I got a problem. See, go for it. Go for it. I still believe in holiness. I still believe in holiness. And holiness is a commitment to separate ourselves from those things that interfere with a solid relationship with Jesus. I still believe God is calling us to take a stand for righteousness and to stand for what is truth. Not to be weird about it, but to be strong in our relationship with Jesus. See, here's the thing. We've got a world that is thinking that it is going to absolutely be destroyed because of global warming. We've got a world that's out there that thinks, man, we're going to break up because of intolerance. We've got a world out there that thinks that we're going to blow up because of terrorism. We've got a message of hope to this world, folks. You've got it. We've got it. This is our foundation. This is where we stop. You've got that message. So where do we want to go with it? Well, let's go back, jump back to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. It says this, you know it. Therefore, come on, let's read it. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You know, we're really good at the making the disciple part. Well, maybe there's some areas we can get better in. But when it comes to training the people in the church, I think every one of you here could probably is very, very well equipped to take that message to a lost world. I don't think it's because of lack of training. I think there is something that is missing for us to get where God wants us to go, and that's that little tiny word. It says, go, go, go. Go, 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 go out and make a difference, make disciples. We were at a conference this weekend, a number of our board members and our staff, and we broke up into small groups and into different learning components. And one of the places that I went, they were talking about something they called the wife. I love my wife. Hallelujah. But this, they said every church is based on four things. When it comes to the way the church is, why the church is here, why we gather, what's the purpose of the church? Four things, a little acronym that we can use for the word wife. We're here, first of all, to worship. We're here to worship Jesus, okay? That's number one. We're here for instruction, to learn about God. We're here for fellowship, to fellowship with one another and to have good cookies and cake and potlucks, hallelujah. And we are here for evangelism. Now, we are really, really good at some of these places. We're pretty good at worship. Thank you, Steve. You do a great job. Instruction, we're pretty good at that. We've got our small groups. Fellowship, oh man, we got that one down. Evangelism, maybe not so much. Now, I want you to think about something. This is what they said at this conference. And I really want you to think about this. Which of those four are we going to have in heaven? Are we going to worship in heaven? Are we going to get some instruction, learn things in heaven? I think so. Are we going to fellowship in heaven? Yeah, absolutely. Are we going to do evangelism in heaven? No. So which of those four would probably be something very, very important we start now? Listen, folks. Evangelism, I didn't hear that, but evangelism has got to be in the driver's seat of our lives. Yeah, fellowship is great. Love the potlucks. Love all that stuff. International Sunday. It's great. I love it. Instruction. Yes, we need it. We got to worship God. But the driver's got to be evangelism. See, if it's not, then we just become a great, wonderful club that we all get together and have a little holy huddle and have a good time on a Sunday morning. We've got to be out there telling people that there is hope. There is hope. You know, it's interesting that Jesus said, go and make disciples, learners of all nations. I said that the church in Canada is shrinking. There is one place that it is not. One place that it is not. McLean said this. This comes from a secular magazine. McLean says, among those born outside of Canada, listen, almost 40% are inclined to embrace religion, while less than a quarter reject it. Are you hearing this? of those born outside of Canada, 40% says, man, I know we have this religious instruction. We want to know more about it. You see, those born in Canada, and I'm not slamming Canadians. I was born here, okay? So I'm talking about myself. A lot of times religion, Christianity is looked at as an old person's game. But it's not true for immigration. Let me show you a little chart here. And this one really, really encouraged me. And I don't know if you can see this, but the purple is those born outside of Canada. The black is those born inside of Canada. I like this because if you look at the left, at the top, it says those that are 18 to 34, those born inside of Canada, monthly plus attendance at a religious or, again, any type of thing, you got about 20-some percent. Those born outside of Canada, it goes up to almost 50%, are wanting to be involved in at least a monthly plus gathering. Look at on the other side. Inclination to embrace religion. Those born outside of Canada, over 40% of those 18 to 34, they're saying, man, I want more. Don't in any way push aside our next generation. Are you hearing me? And let me say this, especially when it comes to those that are coming, your neighbors that are Sikh, your neighbors that are Muslim, that are Hindu, that are whatever, they come to Canada and they are under the umbrella of their folks, but they want to become Canadian. Here's what we've got going for us, folks. If you look at our history, and you take a look at the church's history, it is because of the church that we have the hospitals. It is because of the churches that we've got the schools. It's because of the churches that we've got the universities. It's because of the churches that we have all these things. We should champion that. You know, we should be saying, you know, bless the church, hallelujah, because the church has been there to help out through the years. We still have a message of hope for a younger generation. And it's up to us, it's up to you and I to take that message. So where's SPA going? What does God want from us as a church? I think God wants us to look at the trees. And he wants us to look at the fruit that is on the trees. And I think he wants us to look at, to start off with the low-lying fruit. Now my parents got a number of apple trees in Chilliwack, and I don't climb a ladder to get the top ones. I look at the ones that are closest to me. Are you with me there? Right? Sometimes I pick the ones off the ground. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of fruit for us ready to pick up. A lot of fruit. A lot of people that are just hungry to hear the message of hope that you have, that you and I have. Where's SPA going? I think it's the same place that Jesus went. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. To bring good news to the poor, pardon to prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, and freedom for the burdened and battered. I think where the church is going is the same place Jesus is going in Luke 10, 19, verse 10. His purpose was to what? Seek and to save what is lost. It's interesting, you know, this week I had an opportunity to be with my son, who's not serving Jesus. And we were talking yesterday evening, him and I, about a friend of his. And I said, and he said, they've moved into this place, and they are now, you know, doing such and such, and they are this. And I go, okay, hang on a second. This friend, girl, guy, like, what is it? No, they are they. I'm like, what does that mean? Well, they're binary. I'm like, what does that mean? But see, that's our nation out there right now, folks. We are dealing with something that is very, very different, but God is calling us to go to them. He's calling us to go to those that are broken and that are confused, that are hurting, and to love in a way that Christ loved. Okay, we know it. We've talked about this, where we're at, where we're going. I think the key we want to find out is how are we going to get there? What's the fuel that's needed to get this ship off the ground and get it into the place that we need to be? It's really not complicated, folks. It really, really isn't that complicated. It starts by simply caring. It simply starts by caring. God is calling you to care enough to see the people in your neighborhood that need Jesus. We've got a guy that sits in front of our front door there. I love the guy. We talked to him a lot. I know Pat's gone to him quite a bit, invited him for Alpha. And he sits out there, and every morning, sometimes in the afternoon, Jim, you know what I'm talking about. He's out there, and he's smoking his pot. He's doing his thing. Great guy. We have a choice. We can say, man, you got no place here. Go away. Go smoke your stuff someplace else. Or we can choose to love. I choose to love. You know what he said to me this week, actually? He says, I like coming here. He says, I like coming here. He says, because I feel safe. Isn't that awesome? That's a beautiful statement. If somebody come into this service and they sat down, they say, I love coming here because I feel safe. I know that people are going to love me, no matter what I look like or smell like or act like or whatever. It doesn't mean we embrace sin. It means we embrace people and love them regardless. So care. Secondly, can I encourage you? Oh, there you go. John chapter 3, verse 17. Great verse. Great verse. We all know 16. But it says this, for God did not send his son into the world to what? Condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We're not in a process of condemnation. We're in a process of encouragement and loving, and allow the Spirit to do the convicting. You are, and I are not responsible for conviction. Okay? Are you hearing me? Again, that doesn't mean we neglect sin, but it means we love and let the Holy Spirit, not even Jesus came to condemn, but to love the world, to save the world. Secondly, we need to pray. I love what Matthew chapter 9, verse 38 says. It says, ask the Lord, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. He says, you know, God, please send out people. Send out people to those places I cannot go. There are areas that are, the harvest is ripe, but I personally can't go there. He's not saying, God, send out workers to my neighbor where I can go, because that would not be the mandate he's given to you. He's called us to be, as Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says, where God says to Isaiah, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah says, God, I'm here. Send me. So if we have the attitude of, Lord, send out laborers out to those places I can't go, we'll have the attitude of, Lord, use me here where I can go. Pray for the harvest field. Prayer makes a huge difference, folks. Huge difference. Let me give you an example. It's a place called Aurora, Illinois. Aurora, Illinois, and I'll run through this really quickly, is a place that had an incredible high crime rate. Drive-by shootings, murderers were over the top in 1996. The police could not keep up with it. And there were two pastors. Actually, it was a pastor and a priest that got together and said, man, we don't like this. What's going on here? So they would go to the place where someone had been shot, and they began to pray and say, God, we bind this garbage that's going on. We're praying for victory. And they would go to the next place somebody was shot, and they pray the same thing, and they began to pray all over the city. Word got out that these fanatics were praying when they should be out of there. I mean, the gangs are going to take them out. But the church started seeing this. And before long, churches started to come alongside of them and started to pray with them. Went up to 70 churches that started praying with these two guys. Over 1,000 people at times would show up on a street and begin to pray, God, I pray for my community. 1996, the place was out of control. 2012, the homicides went down from out of control to zero. Do I believe the power in prayer? Yeah, I believe in the power in prayer. And I believe God can change our world if we start with prayer. But then we got to get beyond that. There is a place where we can pray too much and we're not doing anything about it. We need to start to learn about our neighbors. Get to know who they are. Get to take time with them. Find out about that neighbor next door, like ours, whose wife is in the hospital and went through a traumatic experience, or the neighbor across the street who just lost her boyfriend not so long ago, or the neighbor that is next door to us that spends 6 months of the year away from home and his wife is left alone. Learn about your neighbors and get involved in their world. Begin to understand where they're coming from. I guess that brings us to number four, and that is give. I love what Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16 says. It says, giving a gift can open doors. It gives access to important people. Be willing to give. Give of your time. Maybe give a plate of cookies, a card. Give a note. Say, hey, man, I love the way you keep your garden. It looks beautiful. Make a connection. It doesn't take a whole lot. Then we need to learn to serve. I love this. Last week we had Halloween, and I'm so thankful to those that came out. That came out, and when we were out at Glow and served, we had 295 children that showed up down that night. Yeah, it was good. And I can tell you this: I watched the kids. I stood by the road and I had my little clicker to see who was coming, and I'm listening to the kids as they're coming back to their mom or dad, and I'm hearing what they're saying. Man, was that cool? Was that ever fun? Look, I got this magazine, and it was a magazine from Gideon's, and I'm listening to this. Folks, serve whatever way you can. I know people that went out and they made hot chocolate for their community. Listen, it tells us in Romans chapter 15, verse 2, each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Serve whatever way you can your community. Number six, be willing to make a phone call. One in four, statistically speaking, of the homes on your street is occupied by a single person. Somebody that lives alone. We have them in our own neighborhood. One in four. They're coming home to an empty home. Wouldn't it be nice if they came home and there was a little note on the door saying, hey, I was just thinking of you. I read some good stuff as far as what can you say if you make a phone call? Or even what can you say if you left a little note? I haven't seen you for a while. I'm wondering how you're doing. I really enjoy talking to you. What have you been up to? I'm going to the store. What can I pick up for you? Are you ready for the upcoming Christmas storm, whatever it may be? Ask elderly or shut-in specific questions. Is your heat working? Are you warm enough? Do you have enough food to get you through the next few days? Like little things you can ask. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. How can we help? How can we launch this thing? Well, learn to help. I said it earlier. There's 1,000 people moving into Surrey a month. Wouldn't it be really cool? Listen, wouldn't it be really cool is when they hit the airport in Vancouver, if there would be a group of people from Spa Church that would meet them there. Wouldn't that be cool? And somebody that would be there and would say, hey, it's great to see you. Welcome to Canada. Let me help you with your luggage. Let me help you to your place. You know what? I can tell you this. There are organizations that would love to have someone like you volunteer to pick somebody up from the airport and drive them to their home in Surrey. You know what the difference that will make? You were here. How many were here when we had the two sisters here? Right? You know the thing that made an impact to them is that somebody actually cared. That actually was willing to reach out. Listen, can you be willing to help? Can you be willing to, I'm going to run through the last couple really quickly. Are you willing to eat? Hallelujah. Invite people over for a meal. Take them out for, invite people from the church. If nothing else, start with that. There's people around you that you could invite out for dinner or invite them to your place. Anybody here does not need to eat? No, I didn't think so. Your neighbors, they need to eat as well. Invite them over. Michelle has a bunch of friends that she likes to invite over to that we just enjoy a meal together. It doesn't have to be anything extravagant, but it opens up conversations. And then I guess that comes to number nine: invite people to church. I said this in your Lyft communities. 80% of people said if they would be invited to church, they'd show up. Think about that. 8 out of 10 people would be willing to come to church if you invited them. So if you somebody says, no, I'm not going to come there, that's one of the two. Don't give up there. Okay? Don't give up there. Keep going. Keep going. Okay, last one. And that is invest. It's going to take time. It's going to take energy. It's going to take a willingness to do something to make a difference. But if you do, you fulfill what Jesus said in Matthew 28. And that is that we can go and make disciples. And what he said, I love 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. I don't have it up here. Sorry, 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks for the reason that you hope, but do this with gentleness and respect. I believe, folks, that if we are doing things to help people, they'll ask why. I want to end with this, and I'm going to ask Steve and the group to come back up. I'm going to take a real risk here. In 2 weeks, I'm going to preach a sermon that I need your help for. And we're easy at the what, knowing what to do. Okay, we can come up with the what to do. So I in 2 weeks I want to talk about the what's, but I need your help, because on that Sunday, 2 weeks from today, I want you to tell me what you have done in your community to make a difference. Now, you may say, well, isn't that bragging? No, it's not. It's just giving somebody an incentive or an idea what they can do as well. So I'm going to do an old-fashioned, I know I go back, my roots go back. I'm going to do an old-fashioned testimony service, not because I don't want to preach, because I do, but I think it's about time we start seeing what God has been doing in our lives. I think we need to hear from each other. So can I challenge you now? If there is no testimonies that week, it's going to be a real sad service. I mean, I'll prepare some stuff, but I'm banking on you folks. Can you make it a point in the next 2 weeks to say, God, what do you want me to do? How can I be engaged in my community? I don't want to hear about what you did 30 years ago. I want to hear what you've done in the next 2 weeks. How God has used you. So are we good with that? Are we good? Maybe it'll be a really empty service that Sunday. I don't know. Father, I know you've given us a mandate. Let's go and make disciples. Lord, I pray, would you put, as the old song says, Lord, lay us some soul upon our heart and love that soul through us. May we do our part to win that soul for you. Folks, before I end here today, I've talked about what God wants to do through you. But can I end, heads bowed, eyes closed? Maybe there's something God wants to do in you here this morning. If you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I'm not even there. I'm not in a place where I can even hear from God. There's a lot of stuff in my life. Maybe you've never made a commitment to follow Jesus. If that's you today, and let me start with that, you've never made a commitment, you say, you know what, I want that today. I want Christ in my life today. I'm going to give you an opportunity for that. If that's you, can I ask you to put up your hand and say, I want Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. And I, if you put up your hand, I'm going to talk with you later on. I've got some materials for you, and I want to help you through. If you're here today, and you have made a commitment, but you're saying, man, I'm just not where I should be. I've got a lot of stuff. Thank you. I got a lot of stuff I got to deal with. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Let me start. Thank you. You can put down your hands. God sees your hand. That's more important. And here's my challenge to you today. My challenge is this. I'm going to pray a prayer with you, but can I encourage you to take the next step? To say, God, now I want to do this right. Take time with the Lord. Take time in prayer. Take time with your Christian family. Take time to get involved in a small group. If you're interested, we have an alpha program. By all means, if you can come out to that, that would be perfect for you. But if you're here this morning, you said, I need Jesus in my life for the first time, I want to pray a prayer. Nothing magical about the prayer, but it's about the heart. And if you could say this to yourself quietly, dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me so much. I thank you that as I saw this morning and heard this morning, you gave it all, everything, so that I could have life with the Father. Thank you that you died on the cross. Thank you that you rose again. Thank you that you've made a way for me to have a relationship with God. I ask you, forgive me for my sin. Help me to live in a way that honors you. Lord, I ask you into my life. I commit myself to you now. In your name. Amen. And Father, I pray for those that have put up their hands that said, I'm not where I should be. Help them, Lord, in Jesus' name to take the necessary steps to become stronger in their relationship with you, to go all the way. And Father, would you just surprise them daily with your presence, with opportunities to serve you. God, I pray this next couple weeks would be revolutionary for us. That we would see opportunities to serve our community, to serve our neighbors, to serve others. And Lord, we'd come back in a couple of weeks with this testimony service, and we would be so excited what you've done in and through us. So Lord, thank you for today. You're a good God. We love you. Let's stand together as we close.